Blog Talk Radio.
Benvenuto. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Like Thelma and Louise. And today it's all about Aries. So, what's so fun about Aries today is Thelma is Aries. So, before I forget, happy birthday, Thelma.
Thanks, Louise. It's exciting time of year.
It is so
not
exciting.
Not just because I was born this time of year. Yeah.
There's all kinds of things exciting about Aries. So I totally want to check in with you and find out what your experience is about Aries and talk about some of the archetypes of Aries and how you experience that. And here's the funny thing. As I was like exploring this and doing a little research around the mythology and the archetypes for Aries, I realized that my progressed moon is in Aries, and my progressed sun is in Aries. In fact, my progressed sun has been in Aries nearly the whole time you've known me.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Uh-huh. Yeah, makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
It totally makes sense, especially in retrospect when I think about some of the things that people have said about me, some of their observations. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so Aries. You know, that whole fiery kind of, she's really, you know, people have said, she seems so angry. Oh my gosh, it's just my Aries passion.
Mm-hmm. It's all your fire.
So, yeah.
But
your
point, it is funny how that's what, people interpret fire for anger a lot, which is very interesting. But if people don't have a lot of fire, that's up for interpretation, right?
Exactly. And that's what's so fun. Is like, and one of the things I want to talk to you about and explore with you is, you know, I don't know, maybe it's just recently this has shown up, but it seems to me that people who I know who have a lot of Aries in their chart or are part of their mission and purpose in life is to embrace their Aries attributes, and they resist it. There's something about our society or our culture that wants to oppress or suppress the Aries archetypes. Have you found that to be
true
in your own life?
Particularly for women. Yes. I mean, are you talking about both genders or what has your experience been? And I'll share mine, but
I think I'm probably referring to women more than men.
Yeah, I think our society allows for men to be fiery. They have and we generalize. When we talk about what we're talking about, we're generalizing here. Broad stroke, but I think in general, men are much more allowed to, I mean, expected. I mean, that's part of that gender transition as well, right? And I don't mean gender transition. I mean, globally, planet-wise, that men are moving in a different direction, but for women to be in their fire, yeah, I think it's always been criticized. So for me personally, absolutely, absolutely. When I think back when I was a little girl and I remember physically trying to find and fill my fire, and my mom would say, well, who do you think you are, the Queen of Sheba? Or,
exactly.
You know, then through life. And men, oftentimes it is men, but women do this too. I mean, women do this to women. You know, when it's that you're trying to kind of rise up, if you will, and you just feel somebody spraying their water on you. Now, that could be genuinely because they have water and that's their protection, right? But
exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think there are different levels of fire, right? Because the fire can get very hot and there is real anger attached to anger.
Yeah. and that's really interesting. Something recently either came across or read some realization about anger, and there are times when that sort of anger, that fire, is transformative and it's also needed and necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the circumstances. And by the way, before I forget, you know, your progressed moon is also in Aries. So you and I both have our progressed moon in Aries right now.
Interesting.
It is interesting.
Well, you know, it's interesting too, as you ask me these questions, as I'm reflecting back. Remember, I was a firefighter.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I was very scared when I first started that job. Huh?
Go ahead. Yeah, talk about, yeah, you were scared when you first started the job.
Well, it's a very typically masculine job, but you're literally fighting fire. And as I look back and at that point in my life and when that came into my life, it served me very, very well on many fronts, physically, emotionally, spiritually, but making peace on many levels with fire, which is very interesting as I look back. I'd never thought about that before.
Isn't that so cool? Just sort of metaphorically, and it would really be fun, and we can do it sometime when we're off the call. Look at your chart and go back and see if your progressed sun was in Aries at that time. Oh, actually, no. Your progressed sun will not ever be in Aries because you won't live long enough to have a progressed sun in Aries because your natal sun's in Aries.
Okay.
Isn't that? Yeah.
So just so progressed moon for our listeners means exactly what, please?
Oh, great question. So for the listeners, a progressed moon is we all come into this world and this life with our natal charts, and that's kind of like our foundation, almost like our blueprint to the astrological alignments, some of our characteristics, also our dharma, our karma, the gifts that we brought into this world with us, and also the work that we bring into the world that we want to burn off. I mean, we're talking about burning and fire. I mean, we come into this life with the intention of burning some karma. And so that's what our natal chart is all about. And then as we all know that the planets all continue to move through the zodiac, through space and time, and we all evolve with our charts as we mature and learn and have these life experiences. And so where our progressed moon is, it changes about every 2.5 years. So your progressed moon stays in one sign for 30 months. And so that's, so as we evolve and mature emotionally about how we interact with our circumstances and our world and ourselves emotionally, that's what the progressed moon is. Does that make sense?
Makes sense to me, yeah. Thank you for clarifying.
Okay. Yeah, or was that
no,
a little...
No, that's good. No, and I think just one more thing to add is when... No, I think that's helpful. Because when we just went right into the fire, so that's the element for Aries, right?
Correct, yeah. The element is fire. And also, the mode of energy for Aries is cardinal. So it's all about initiating. It's all about taking charge and being courageous and pioneering and competitive and independent, explosive. I mean, these are all the adjectives that we can come up with that are a reflection of Aries and of fire, but definitely Aries and cardinal energy, just like, you know, we're going to do something. And you're right, if somebody has a lot of water in their chart, or a lot of earth, it's going to look a little intimidating. It's going to look like somebody who's headstrong, somebody who's competitive, possibly domineering, pushy, and then, you know, you bring that with another Aries who's experiencing that, and we're just stimulated and inspired by it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love the way you just described that, because just sticking with the fire theme, so you think about wildfires and everything that ends up coming back. So there are intentional burns, right? And there are accidental burns. But if you think about Yellowstone, for example, after it burned in, what, the early 90s, everything that came back, there are just new blossoms. So when I think about Aries and I think about spring and when I was a little girl, I was always so excited about my birthday. And my grandma always made it very special. But, you know, the sun starts shining, all of the bulbs are blooming. And so kind of when you talk about that, they're literally exploding from the ground. So even though we talk about, because it can sound, and I think people, again, back to a misconception, it can sound like it's aggressive. That can be, but it's also this, it is the first sign, and it is the spring, and it's about rebirth. The key word is I am, right?
Right, exactly.
So I love the way that you described that, because all of those things, the initiator, when you think about the crocus and the daffodil and them poking their heads up, and they're the first ones that come out and announce spring, right?
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden, it all just, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They're initiating. They're like, hey, get ready. There's more to come.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, the trees start blooming, the birds start singing, the grass starts greening. I mean, it's just next thing you know. Yeah. It's so cleansing. It's always just a cleansing. I find spring to me anyway, in spite of the pollen. But that adds value, of course.
Exactly. A little bit of the downside, the whole pollen thing going on. So one of the other things that, you know, I want to focus on during our conversation, and especially with you as an Aries person, you know, Mars is the planet that represents, you know, and rules Aries, so to speak. So the mythology of Mars, I totally love. I think you're going to, and what I also love about it is that the mythology of Mars is closely related to Minerva, and you know how I have a thing about Minerva.
You love Minerva.
You yes. know how
For
I love
reason.
Minerva.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, you know, and Mars just rates right up there in Roman mythology. So Mars was like the father of what are those two guys that are in the mouth of the wolves? Romulus and Remus. So,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if you remember this from your travels in Italy, but wherever you go in Italy, there's always some statue in some piazza in some city, regardless of its size, where it's Romulus and Remus and the wolf. And they're actually the children of Mars. And it's closely related to all of the Roman mythology and basically the birth of Rome, honestly, in the Roman Empire. It's really, really so fun.
Huh. I did not know that. It's very interesting.
I know. It is so much fun. And then the tie-in with Minerva is, this is really interesting too. So Mars was all hot to trot after Minerva. And Minerva was not interested in Mars as a romantic partnership or any sort of relationship. And so there was another, I guess maybe a goddess or a deity or something that dresses up and pretends to be Minerva because she was interested in Mars.
We're deceptive.
Yeah, exactly. And as you know, one of the other things about all of this mythology and what's so much fun about it is how the stories are timeless.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, God of War. So look at what we've just gone through in the past week.
Yeah.
In terms of the repetition and the cycles and the where Mars is in the global chart.
And
not
the
just
deception.
Mars, I mean, there are a bunch of different pieces to it, but. Mm-hmm.
Right, and because Mars is all about warfare.
Yep, the warrior, like you said, the initiator, confrontive. So much confrontation going on right now.
Yeah.
And confrontation goes
yeah.
both ways, right? Because that helps us to see the other side. It is valuable. We need it. Or otherwise things stay hidden that need to be brought to the light. And that's
see,
the thing,
that's
I think,
it.
Is we always have to look at both sides. Yeah?
Exactly. And that's where I was going to bring in a little bit of the Minerva mythology, because Minerva is the goddess of wisdom. And part of that wisdom around confrontation and assertiveness and even warfare is, like you said, there is another side to all of this and the perspective and drawing our own lines in the sand of knowing when to push back, when to be open, when to listen. And part of the problem is that no one's listening to the other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, that's the interesting thing with astrology. I'm barely past reading in the newspaper. I'm just the very tip of the iceberg in terms of my learning, but you are far advanced. And as you, just like you said, the cycles, the history, the repetition, it all just, the world keeps turning. It just manifests differently. Different, yet the same.
Yeah, and back to your point around, you know, listening to the other's viewpoint, I would include history and historical documents and mythology in that mix of other perspectives and viewpoints. And when we get, I guess, almost sort of ethnocentric about our experiences and perspective and forget that there are others that have been through this, and that if we don't value their experience and if we don't value what they've learned or even learn from their learnings, we don't have to talk to them directly, just learn from their, from the teachings or the writings of history and mythology, we're just bound to continue to repeat it. And that's one of our biggest challenges.
Absolutely. And as you're saying that, I'm reminded that the opposite sign of Aries is Libra. And
yes,
some of what you're referencing
balance.
Is about balance and peace, relationships, like you said, listening.
In harmony.
And the element is air, which feeds fire,
exactly.
Ruled by Venus, another cardinal mode. Yeah,
yes.
Very interesting. That's exactly what, as you're saying, that it, that is the opposite. So that is the light and the dark, if you will. I mean, I don't want to call either one of them light or dark. They're all shades within all of these. But yes, very interesting. What goes up must come down.
Yeah. So let's, you know, I want to hear a little bit more about your comfort and maybe your evolution and process with owning your Ariesness. What's that been like?
Yeah, that's it's an interesting question, and as I've thought about it in preparation for our call today, it's so, you know, I thought about how in my years how it has evolved and how it ebbs and flows, and how as we age, and it goes back to your point about wisdom, when we have an awareness about what those factors are, they become tools in our tool belt. And we can use them differently than just being ran by them, you know, which is a lot of what we see in the world, right? If there's lack of awareness and people don't know, and it's not just this, it can mean any number of things. But for me personally, as I've learned about it and I can recognize it, I'm able to better harness it and use it for positive is always my goal. Now, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I can flare up, but as I've aged, I mean, that can be a torch. I can flare up very quickly, but what's really happened for me over time is that now I'm a slower burn. So I have a longer, what's that thing called on the stick of dynamite?
Longer the wick?
Fuse. Yeah.
Oh, the fuse, yeah.
I have a much longer fuse. So I'll build and I'm calm and I can feel it. I can feel it coming up in me and I can see it. I just pace it differently. But then once it's there, then I'm like, I'm done. This is it. And it links to all of these things, the confrontation. And what you see is what you get. I like to meet things in the moment. I'm very forthright. I say what's on my mind. And of course, there are other elements in my chart that are related to this, but I think those are some of my Aries attributes. But I've done a lot of things head first when you think about the ram, literally. When you think about the ram butting and going head first into the world, I've done a lot of that. And I look back at the times I've moved or accepted jobs. And sometimes I think, geez, my recent marriage and this relationship and the blended family and all those things that I've just gone headfirst into without, in some cases, doing a whole heck of a lot of thought about it, trusting myself and just going for it, you know? But then
yeah,
when I think about
some,
the other
well,
signs, people, yeah, go ahead.
Some level, I think, without sort of that initiative, and I mean, if you sit around and you think about it too long, it's almost like the window of opportunity closes. Not everything requires you know, yeah, here's the so Aries part of me, the fire part of me is like, ah, shit, everything doesn't need to be thought about, but through, just do it. That is so Aries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. But we know people who may not have any or very little in their chart and will just ruminate and, I mean, don't ever move forward. And that's okay. It doesn't mean it's a bad thing. That's what they came here for. But once you understand these different energies, you really start to see it very clearly in people, you know?
Yeah, and I guess the other piece, which I find interesting as someone who's looked at a lot of different charts, in that's when people have the Aries in their chart or a lot of fire in their chart and they don't own it, they don't embrace it. In fact, they resist it. That to me is actually on some level probably more fascinating. And part of it I find incredibly intriguing, and one of the things that I think about, and I don't know if you remember this, this is all conversation off Thelma that we had a long time ago when you were talking about Aries, and you were talking about a friend of yours who's in Aries, and some of the Aries attributes, and you're like, but I'm not like that. And which I, because some people describe Aries as self-centered. That's not how I would describe an Aries, but that's how some people see it. And it's interesting to me just some of the oversimplifying of all of the astrological signs, of all of the attributes of the signs, and then how people put them in categories of positive and negative.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that's what people are resisting.
I would agree completely with you. Yes, I would say that from my personal experience and from people I know. And it literally comes from those, yeah, the boxes, whatever it is. Yes, I think that's absolutely true.
And one of the things also I was thinking about as you were talking about your long fuse, and I had was thinking about this previously, and that's Thelma's role in the movie, Thelma and Louise, and her fuse, and how, you know, it's kind of a slow burn, just building up to everything, her taking the back seat to Daryl and her role and responsibility in that relationship, and then something is ignited and mm-hmm. she just becomes all Aries. She's taken the initiative to rectifying some of the previous mistakes, like sleeping with Brad Pitt and letting him run off with all that money, and then it's like, mm-hmm. oh, now I have to take charge here. And mm-hmm. her taking the initiative and, you know, committing some robberies and finding ways for them
well,
to...
Well, and that goes back to your point on recognizing and owning that and really knowing that you have that. I mean, I have some parallel examples to her where I was a doormat, where I was used, where I was kicked, you know, not physically, but, you know, down until I finally owned that. I mean, I'm in a very different place now because now I just won't take any crap, but I took it for a long time until I could figure that out, because it's exactly what you said before, trying to find that balance, especially as a woman, and finding that right fit, if you will. Yeah, that's a great analogy.
So, you know, one of the things I think about is, and you know, we both have many years behind us, some of us more than others. do you have some concrete
wisdom? We have wisdom behind us.
Yeah, we're just glowing with wisdom.
Yeah.
Do you have some like concrete examples, or I guess activities or steps, or you know, what did you do to harness your Aries?
Well, for me personally, I definitely think that the physical, and that's one of the things with Aries, that an Aries needs to burn energy. People can burn energy in a lot of different ways. For me, that's manifested in physical activity. There were years where it manifested in not such healthy behaviors, whether it was through drinking or partying or, you know, different things like that. But as I look back, that was still burning of the energy. It builds up in you and you have to release it in some way. The healthy way was through physical activity through some physical competition type activity, you know, different things like that. That's one recommendation. I mean, and of course, it depends on somebody's chart and the mix of everything else they have, right? But if
exactly.
we're just assuming that we're talking about, yeah, just Aries, I think the physical piece, because the other thing, and you started to allude to this early, is when that energy builds up in your body and it's not released in some way, it can cause harm, you know, in different ways, whether it's through illness
right.
or anxiety or, you know, whatever. And I definitely recognize that I need a release of that. And I've just learned to do it in different ways. For me now, meditation helps me a lot because it's a redirect of it more than it used to be. And I don't have the same physical energy as I used to. My body's can't handle that intensity like it used to. And that's the thing too, you know, it was a hard workout, a boot camp, a karate, you know, that kind of thing. And now I'm just moving into a more gentle place.
Oh, yeah, when I think about some of your activities, like, holy moly. I mean, goes looking for getting kicked in the shins.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, and that's the thing, you know. I mean, there's other aspects. I have an aspect in my chart that has a very high tolerance for pain. So,
right.
And that's, you know, it's the mix. But I think to answer your question, and other Aries I've known who have it as their sun sign, there are those similarities. But, yeah, it's just like you were saying. I mean, it depends on where it's at in other charts, too. I mean, plenty of people that are out there doing adventure and intense physical activity, et cetera. But that could well be linked to where it is in their chart.
Yeah, and, you know, just one other thing about, since we're talking about charts and astrology, one of my favorite things about having that insight and that information about one's individual chart relieves a significant amount of pressure and self-judgment about how we show up in the world. And I'm not implying that lets us off the hook for any kind of irresponsible behavior or behavior that undermines our soul's evolution, but to know what your gifts are and know where you need to focus that energy. Back to your point around, you know, the Aries energy and being directed all over the place, where essentially then you lose all your potential. You lose your gift of that initiation and assertiveness and warriorness. If it spreads so thin, does that make sense? It's like you spread it so thin
mm-hmm.
that it loses its power instead of coming out as a blowtorch, being very directed and transformative when it gets touched with the solder and the metal and that alchemy of transformation and coming and being stronger. So
mm-hmm.
as we wind down here, this was a lot of fun. Selma, I love connecting with you. It's always a fun time to reminisce and reflect on our paths and talk about Aries during the time of Aries.
Yes, thank you. This is fun to take a look at it, and I appreciate you supporting my Aries and helping me to nurture it for all of these years. You've never judged me about it. You've always encouraged me to own it and use it. So thank you for that, Weeze.
Exactly. You know, in that T-bird, holding hands off the cliff, that's us.
We are.
Exactly. So, bon cumpleaños, happy birthday, Anguri. Enjoy your Aries-ness, and I look forward to touching base with you next month. And, maybe we'll talk about Taurus. You have a lot to bring to the table on the Taurus conversation as well.
Well, we can talk about you, too. All right.
Oh,
thank
we will.
You. Happy spring.
Okay. Bye.
Okay.
Ciao, ciao.
Take care. Bye.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement 1, switch 30-2. Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement 1, switch 30-2.